Welcome to Women Who Move Nations, the podcast about women in transport and mobility. I'm your host, Michelle Batsis, Executive Director of UITP, the International Association of Public Transport here in Australia and New Zealand. We're raising the voices of women for everyone who works in transport and mobility, and particularly any young women listening out there who are early in their transport careers and looking for inspiration. This week on Women Who Move Nations, I'm joined by Loretta Lynch, Managing Director of Transdev Melbourne. Thanks so much for joining us, Loretta.
Hi, thanks for having me, Michelle.
We're so excited to have you as part of our Women Who Move Nations podcast series. So we're interviewing female leaders from across the public transport sector to highlight the great work they're doing. And we're really excited to hear about the role you're doing as one of the top females working in transport in Australia.
Fantastic. Looking forward to sharing it with you.
So today we want to talk about your career, your achievements, and what you've learned so far as well. So to start with, can you tell us about your role and Transdev and the operation you're leading in Melbourne?
Sure. I've been with Transdev since March of 2020, right before COVID began. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But I'm super excited to be with the company. Transport is something that I'm extremely passionate about. And taking on the role of managing director is wonderful to be able to influence what's happening both within the company and what's happening in the community that we serve in Melbourne. In my job, I'm responsible for all of the operational, financial, client management, people management, risk management, basically everything. And I report to the board of Transdev Melbourne, which is a wholly owned company of Transdev Australasia. So Transdev in Melbourne operates around 30% of the urban bus network. We've got 1,400 staff, 500 buses, and we facilitate about 25 million passenger journeys every year.
Wow, that's a significant operation you're leading. And I'm certainly aware there is a lot of transformation and change going on at Transdev in Melbourne. So can you tell us a bit about how you're leading that change and the goals you've set in terms of improvement in the organisation and the services that it delivers?
You're right. Melbourne has gone through a huge transformation. But the fortunate thing for me in joining Transdev at this time is that they have done a huge amount of hard yards and the performance has improved to a level that means we can now take that excellent performance and turn it into even more amazing ongoing performance. So yes, although it's a challenging time with the transformation that has occurred, we're going to make 2020 look even better than it ever has. We're very fortunate to have the support of the Department of Transport and the collaboration they've shown us, especially in helping us renew a large part of our fleet, has meant that our performance has improved markedly.
Yeah, that's great. And what's really interesting that I would like to hear more about is the diverse experience and skill set that you bring to the role. As I said earlier, you're one of the most senior female leaders in transport in Australia. There are very few females operating at a managing director or CEO level. I'd love to hear more about your career progression and how you got to where you are.
You're right. It is difficult to find women at some of these senior roles in transport. It's the same in many other industries as well. It's been a wonderful career progression for me. So my career evolved out of an initial background in accounting, and particularly with a mining company based in Queensland, Mount Isa Mines, that had investments overseas, particularly an investment in Argentina. I became more of a contracts expert and an operational analyst and was able to take on opportunities that were presented to me. I think that would be the secret of my career, is just saying yes to opportunities. And I've been quite fortunate in being able to work with some very large companies has given me experiences that otherwise I wouldn't have had. After returning from overseas, I joined a construction company, civil construction, worked for another mining company, and then joined Downer. And through their investment with Keolis Downer at the Gold Coast, I became CFO at the Gold Coast. What I found wonderful about the transport industry is that it welcomes people with diverse experience, more than I had found within the mining or construction industry. And they embraced the large company experience I'd had. And I think that's the key to how I ended up being MD at the Gold Coast, which by far was the most exciting role I'd ever had. And there we delivered stage two of the Gold Coast Light Rail and supplied three times the usual services during the Commonwealth Games. And I was hooked, absolutely hooked on public transport and running an operation. So I returned to Brisbane for a year and have now joined Transdev and am super excited to be back in transport.
That's so great, Loretta. It's really interesting around the different experience you've had from construction and coal and that you've come back, right? Because we're very passionate about public transport at UITP. And so it's great to have you as part of the family.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a very collegiate industry. And I'm very fortunate to have already had many of my colleagues at other modes of transport in Melbourne reach out to me. Unfortunately, haven't had a chance to really catch up yet. Looking forward to all those coffees. But it is an industry that is very welcoming. And as a woman in public transport, I feel just as welcome.
Yeah, it's so great to hear. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on in the world right now in terms of COVID-19. I know that you joined Transdev in mid-March 2020, right as COVID-19 response was ramping up in Australia. Can you describe what it's been like taking on a new senior leadership role amidst so much disruption, but also actually about what you're doing for customers and to keep the network moving and the city safe?
It's been entirely unique. Meeting my team and the stakeholders for the business online has been certainly challenging, but it has brought its own opportunities as well. On the one hand, working from home has meant that there's actually more hours in the day because we're not traveling between meetings. I've really been enjoying that. The other fun part is that when you have meetings online, people's names end up on the screen in front of you. So it's a great way to remember people's names.
Yeah.
And it has been challenging. But on the other hand, I'd say I've had more challenging start to other jobs in the past. So the good part of joining an organisation like Transdev is that it's a very welcoming culture, very supportive, and recognising the humanity of the difficulties we're facing and the respect that we need to show each other. It hasn't been anywhere near as hard as it could have been, and I've actually enjoyed the challenge.
That's great to hear. Look, certainly there have been positive new ways of working that have come out of the COVID-19 experience. What I'm interested in and what we've seen in transport around the world is that the priorities and issues that are top of mind for public transport operators have really shifted because of COVID. So I'm wondering, have your goals as a leader changed to any extent in your new role?
To some extent, but at the same time, they're goals that we'd set for the organisation, we're still very keen to deliver, and they're all on track. Even with things that we thought would be the exception, such as training. But so much of how training has rapidly evolved and is now being delivered online that we're still on track to deliver most of our training goals. It's wonderfully exciting to get innovative about how we do this. And in that area particularly, we can absolutely see opportunities to continue that in the future.
Yeah, great. And let's talk about the network you manage. So I understand it's about 30% of the metropolitan bus network in Melbourne where you're providing services to get people around. How have you been supporting customers during COVID-19 in both the response and recovery stage? And what are the trends you're seeing in relation to that?
So I'd have to say that in collaboration with the Department of Transport and our colleagues across all modes in Melbourne, there's been huge collaboration to ensure that we can deliver to the public similar responses to give them the confidence to travel on the network, because the network is so, so important to very many people in our community. And we really want to encourage people to use public transport to get to their essential jobs. There's been a lot of additional efforts, particularly in the area of cleaning and sanitation. We are now ensuring that all of those high touch areas are being regularly cleaned. We're doing what we can around social distancing for our drivers and encouraging passengers to maintain that social distance where they can. The wonderful initiative to remove cash handling across the network is wonderful for both our employees and the public. Still encouraging people to continue using MyKey, but that has really removed a big risk for all of us. We're encouraging people to stagger times for when they're going to travel. There's only a certain amount that we can do there, but encouraging people where appropriate to do that. With the mode share changes that we might see in the future, we're certainly seeing an increase in cyclists, but it's still early days. What's exciting about working for an organisation that's international and national is that we're watching carefully what's happening in other jurisdictions, and we can anticipate to some extent some of the challenges that might face us. So here in Melbourne, we've been really fortunate to be able to take the very best ideas from what's happening elsewhere and bring them here.
Great to hear that you're looking at what other jurisdictions are doing. I think that's a real trend in our region, and certainly we've had a lot of members come to UiTP to understand what other cities are doing in response to COVID-19. So as we know, Transdev is a global company. I'm interested to know, what other great innovations have you seen in transport?
Well, I think the most wonderful innovations in public transport often come from those very long-term planned activities that allow such things as easy mode change, fully integrated transport systems with a real focus on maintaining the service to a level that supports the growth in the community. Things such as very, very easy transfers from one mode to another, where customers just find it really easy to move through, and pricing that's matched to that is probably the best thing. Very difficult to install once a system is mature, but it's wonderful when you come across government departments that do that long-term planning about how they can maximise the friendliness of the system for our passengers. The other really exciting bit of innovation is any battery technology in things like light rail that are catenary free, with really opening up cities for pedestrians as well. That is just very, very exciting stuff. There's still a bit of a way to go there, but it's already being delivered. In Sydney Light Rail, that's what there's sections of that system that are catenary free, and that system is going to really improve the livability for everybody in Sydney. And that's a really exciting change.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the idea of vehicle technology and innovations in other tech and how it improves public transport and the journeys people have has really taken hold in the public transport sector. Some of the key themes for UiTP are reducing emissions and improving air quality and supporting our members to map out zero emission pathways. I know Transdev is running Victoria's first locally built fully electric bus on the popular 246 route, which is a major trunk route in Melbourne for those of you not familiar with the city. So could you give us an update on that trial?
Yeah, the electric bus is going very, very well. We're very happy. Passengers are very happy with it as well. And we're delighted to be running that bus. So it's Victoria's first locally built fully electric bus. It's one of the busiest routes, 246. And the body construction and the fit out of the bus was actually carried out in Dandenong. So it has, on top of highlighting all of the wonderful innovation, it was supporting Victorian jobs, and it's backed the local automotive industry. So it's a zero emission bus. It's got a low floor, so it's very accessible. It's got intelligent early detection collision avoidance systems, so pretty modern technology that way. It's among the cleanest commercial vehicles on Australian roads, and it's based, this vehicle, at North Fitzroy Depot, where a charging station has been installed to support it. So this trial of this bus will continue through 2021 at this stage. And we're using the information from it to help planning for what could be a future electric fleet across Victoria. So the potential of this is enormous, and it's going very, very well. Interestingly, it is super quiet. And in our depot, we've had to, when we introduced it, we had to encourage everyone walking around to be very, very careful of a vehicle moving with no noise. Quite a different experience to have this bus come past rather than a diesel engine. And the feedback that we're getting from drivers around the way it handles is exceptionally good. Some describe it as being virtually the same, and others describe it as better. But the passengers are commenting on the reduction in noise.
Yeah, that's great. The noise is actually a huge factor. I spent some time in Europe riding the electric bus networks there, and you feel like the journey is more pleasant and you have the ability to talk to people who are sitting next to you. So there's no surprises you're getting that great feedback, and really excited to see how that evolves in Melbourne.
We're very excited about being able to deliver this technology to Melbourne. It's very much part of our commitment to sustainable transport, and it's just a delight to be able to share that with the people of Melbourne.
Great. Thanks, Loretta. I'd like to now talk about diversity. It's one of our key agenda items in UITP, and it's why we're doing this podcast. I know TransDev has an incredible diversity program, and certainly you've received global attention through UITP for the work you've done in this space. So I'm interested in hearing more about the measures that you've applied to make a more diverse and inclusive workplace, and certainly through your Journey Maker Academy, how you're going about hiring more women and young people.
Yes, the diversity program at TransDev is extensive. So we've got a wonderful suite of policies. We've implemented a family violence leave policy. Very exciting that our gender-neutral paid parental leave policy is actually used. There's so many companies that have this, but I've actually met already three men who've used that policy for parental leave. And in my career, I don't think I've met any prior to that. So I'm very excited about joining TransDev because it's really walking the talk there. We're very supportive of flexible work, and we have achieved the WGEA, or Workplace Gender Equality Agency accreditation here in Australia. Very, very proud of that. So when we talk about the Journey Maker Academy, which you mentioned earlier, that's a very, very interesting program. The intent of it is to encourage people to join the bus industry who would not traditionally have been part of it. And we are particularly hoping that women will join the program through the encouragement that we have. So the basis is that the drivers are fundamentally customer service professionals. They're drivers, professional drivers, but customer service is at the core of what we do. So we go looking for people who have an aptitude for customer service, and then we give them the training so that they can become a driver. It's a 20-day program during which we build the competence and expertise of a bus and driving a bus. You need to have a car license, but then we'll help you achieve your bus license and accreditation. We cover the upfront training and upgrade costs. And although our progress at TransDev is slow because it's a traditionally male-dominated industry, many women don't consider becoming a bus driver. There's unhelpful stereotypes that we want to break down, and the Journey Maker Academy is really doing that. And it's really wonderful the feedback that our academy graduates are giving us, and we're aware that they like it because they're encouraging their friends to apply. So it's something we're entirely committed to, and we look forward to seeing continued good results of that. It's been running now since 2019, so we've just celebrated its first anniversary, and very, very happy with the outcomes.
Loretta, it's fantastic to hear the commitment that you have around supporting people changing their careers and finding new opportunities. I mean, I think what we've seen, particularly in traditionally male-dominated industries, is that females need a lot of support, and certainly to be given the opportunity to go for positions that you wouldn't have traditionally seen women go for. So I'm kind of keen now to loop back to talking about your career. I read in a Deakin University alumni article, actually, that was about you, that you've tried to develop broader skills and focus outside finance and accounting, which you did make mention of earlier. So for example, you did part of your MBA in Argentina, and you've been on boards for government and not-for-profit organizations. How did you secure those opportunities?
In fact, most of those opportunities have come through my networks. I think it's interesting when people say that kind of thing. A lot of people groan and say that's really, really hard work. It depends how you do your networking. There's a better way to look at networking in terms of how do I find people who I can help? Turn it the other way around. It's not people who can help me, it's how I can help other people. And when you approach it that way, it's a pure delight to catch up with people who are similarly minded. And the people who have supported me mostly in my career are equally male and female, and they're just good people who care about other people and want to help. So that's the style of networking I do. And I actually did a little bit of a calculation. In fact, I don't think, except for my very first job, since then every other role I've taken on has been because I was offered it internally or someone in my network told me about a job and gave me the support to move into it. And I'm quite lucky in that I've been part of those bigger organisations where I've met lots of people. But if I can encourage anybody how to do that, it is simply go with an open heart as to what you can bring to a relationship rather than the other way around.
That's such great advice. I'm going to keep that at top of mind. So I'm interested in hearing, and particularly for our younger listeners, if you could give your younger self any advice, what would it be?
Definitely, I'd tell myself to trust myself and what other people are suggesting as well. So that if somebody suggests to you you'd be good at a job, really have a good think about that, because they truly believe it. That's why they shared it with you. And they might be willing to help you move into that job. So always remember, you see other people doing it. If they can do it, you can. You can have a good go at it. You may not want to do certain jobs, and when you know yourself well, sure, you won't say yes to everything, but don't be afraid. If it scares you but you're interested, definitely say yes.
I love that. I love that. So my final question to you, and again on the career path, what do you feel has been the key to your success and being able to achieve your professional goals?
It's sometimes it's a bit of the tough stuff, and sometimes it's a bit of the not tough stuff. Things like setting goals, working hard, putting in the effort. Yes, it's hard, but there's a huge sense of achievement when you actually do hit your goals. And so I tend to have a next goal and a next goal at any point. They're not terribly well organized. I don't have a 5-year, 10-year plan really, but definitely set goals and enjoy how you feel once you've achieved them.
Yeah, actually, can I ask, have you ever had a 5-10-year plan? Because we always hear this idea bandied about, but I've actually yet to find someone who has one.
I once had a 5-year plan to buy a yacht. I changed that. It wasn't a good plan. No, to be honest, I've tried to work out what my next 5-year plan would be, and I haven't. But one thing that did help me with that, I'm not good at that. I had a wonderful boss who asked me to just set a goal. He realized I was having difficulty coming up with a plan, and he pushed me and pushed me, and I made a crazy goal, and would you believe it? I achieved it. It was to become a CFO within a company inside the group of one of the companies I was with within 12 months, and 6 months later I was. So they're the kind of people you need to listen to. Surround yourself with people who will encourage you to set big goals.
Thanks so much, Loretta. I really appreciate you sharing some of those insights about your personal journey as well as your professional one. So I've come to the end of my questions, but is there anything else that you wanted to mention before we sign off?
I just wanted to say thank you to all the people who've made me feel so very, very welcome here joining Transdev Melbourne, the people from the department, the people from Transdev, but the team at Melbourne Bus, they are absolutely brilliant, and I'm very, very proud to be joining them.
That's so great to hear, Loretta. I want to say thank you so much for taking the time. It's really important to us that we're able to raise the profile and share voices of senior women in the sector. And it's been great to get to know you better and hearing about how you've gotten to where you are today. Looking forward to seeing your leadership journey and where you take Transdev Melbourne and what's next in terms of public transport improvements for people using the network.
Thanks very much, Michelle. Me too. I'm tremendously excited to see what happens in the next few years. Thank you.
And for listeners who are in cities other than Melbourne, the Department of Transport here in Victoria are hosting the next UITP Global Public Transport Summit, so you'll be able to come and check out the Melbourne network then. Thank you to everyone for listening to this week's episode of Women Who Move Nations. This series is co-produced by Cassandra Kadelka and Lara Rudd, with copywriting by Sophia Dickinson. Please join us each week as we raise the voices of women in the public transport and mobility sector. I'm Michelle Batsis. Keep safe and keep our nations moving.